These recordings of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein are provided courtesy of Congregation Ne'er Yisrael in London, where they were originally delivered.
There is an added fascination in the partios of the volume to the extent that I must confess I have not looked at them in such depth as I have during these weeks in preparing the shiur. And I can say without fear of exaggeration that every pasuk, if not every word, is a veritable gold mine. And we'll begin, as is traditional, at the beginning. V'hoya eikev tishma'un eis ha-mishpotim ho'eile, u'shamartem v'asisem o'som, v'shomar Hashem Elokecha lecho es habris v'es ha-chesed, asher nishpa la'avosecha. So the import of the pasuk is quite simple, that Moshe Rabbeinu is indicating that when Bnei Yisrael are loyal to the Mishpatim, to the mitzvos, and keep them, then and only then will HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shomar, will he keep, es habris v'es ha-chesed, asher nishpa la'avosecha. Now there is a problem in regard to this pasuk, which has to be addressed, and that is, as I say, the implication of the opening pasuk is that when we are fully observant, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember what he promised to the Avos. I refer you immediately to Perek Tes, Pasuk He. And there we will see there is quite a different picture altogether. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Moshe Rabbeinu, is telling Bnei Yisrael, now that you are coming to Eretz Yisrael, Lo vitzid kosecha, not because of your righteousness, uve yosher levavacha, and the uprightness of your heart, atovol loreshes esartzom, are you coming to inherit their land? Ki v'nishas ha-goyim ho'ela Hashem Elokecha morisho miponecha. First you should know that the reason why they are going to be thrown out is because they are wicked, not because of your righteousness. And furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing that you are not righteous, lo bitzid kosecha uve yosher levavacha, nevertheless, Ulaman hokimes hadavar asher nishba Hashem la'avosecha li'Avraham li'Yitzchak li'Yaakov. The implication being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep the shavua that he made, even though you're not towing the line. So this seems to contradict the opening sentiment of the parsha. And here we refer immediately to the comment of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And it is in the paragraph which begins, it's over the page from the beginning of the parsha, at the bottom line, the section which begins, Lecho es habris. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh as follows. Koshe, it is difficult to understand the opening pasuk of the parsha. Shemi devorov kan mashma, because from the words as they are expressed here, it appears that only she'achar sheyishma'u v'yishmaru v'yasu kol hamishpot, that only if they will do everything that they have to keep, v'yasu kol hamishpotim, v'zeh yizku lishmor lehem haftochoso, it is only through this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared to keep his promise. And yet if we look later on in the parsha, which says Lo Bitzid Kosecha, Ki Berishas Uleman Hokim, Ze Yagid, that would seem to imply Shehagam She'ein Lohem Tzedakah, that even though they have no merit, nevertheless Behechreich, it is nevertheless essential Sheyekayim Hashem Es Hashavua, V'Zelecha Ho'os. And the proof that it is so, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to fulfill the shvua that he made to the others, even though they are not observant, is the fact, Chilo b'tzid koso bo v'yorach mashi yorach. Because after having indicated that they are not righteous, lo b'tzid kosecha, nevertheless we know that under Yehoshua, they entered and occupied and captured the land. So what is the meaning of these two psukim? How can they be reconciled? So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh suggests two things. The ulai, it is possible to suggest as follows. Ki chenisa som la'oretz hoyasa bishvil shavuas ha'ovos. The truth of the matter is to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to do, no matter what their level of observance, because he promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that your generations would come back. So that's a shvua that he is prepared to keep. And that has nothing at all to do with righteousness. U'tenayhu hadavar. But there is a condition that what? Im yishmeru v'yasu. That if the Jewish people will be observant of the mitzvos, then yishmor Hashem hamatono liolam voed. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure not only that they enter the land, but that they stay there. That is what the pasuk means. V'hu amro kan, if you will be observant, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you into the land, not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill the shvuah, but rather v'shomar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will retain the bris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will constantly keep it there, ensuring that we remain in Eretz Yisrael. V'im lo yishmeru, and if you will not keep the mitzvot as outlined, tihyeh kiyum hashvuah, yes, the shavuah which was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in good faith will be fulfilled, but it will only be bizman hamuot, only for a short time. Shenichnesu la'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you into the land, vishalachem lenapshom, and at a later date you will be exiled. So the Shavuah, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is a promise which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Abraham and through him to Yitzchak and Yaakov, that a future generation will come to Eretz Yisrael, irrespective of their level of observance. But if they expect Bishomar, if they expect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will preserve that bris, preserve that Shavuah, and keep it constantly, meaning keep them constantly there, for that there is a condition. For Hoya Ekev Tishmaun Eis Hamishpotim Ohele Ushimartem Vasi Semos. That is the first interpretation which the Or HaChaim HaKadosh gives. Od Yisboer, I would further like to suggest another interpretation. Al Zeh HaDerech in the following way. I believe, he says, Lefi Shehavtochas Avraham Motsinu Sheomar Lo Shenei Havtochas. If you look carefully into the text of the Bris Ben Abisorim in Bereishis Perek Tesvav, you will note that there are two commitments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to Avraham Avinu. Number one, Aleph, Lahotziyam mi Mitzrayim, to bring them out of Egypt, V'yivyeim el Eretz Kanaan, and to bring them into Eretz Kanaan. As the pasuk says, V'yachlechen yetzu b'rechush gadol, V'dor revi'i yashuvu heina. That's a promise. The fourth generation, how you calculate that, that's a machlokas rishonim and acharonim, but the fourth generation after Avraham Avinu will come back to Eretz Israel. That is a shavuah, and that's the first commitment. Number two, Loseis lo minahar Mitzrayim ad nahar peros v'yasoro ha'umos. A second commitment is that the land which the Bnei Yisrael will inherit will be from the Euphrates to the Nile. And it will be the territory not only of the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael proper, but will include also the three nations on the other side of the Jordan. Now, V'hein ato. So therefore, now we can conclude the following. Hagam shelo hayu tzadikim kimitzoreich. Even though the Bnei Yisrael are not as righteous as Hashem would like them to be, ke'omro, as the pasuk says, lo vitzid kotecha, it is not because of your righteousness. Afal pichei, nevertheless, kiyem Hashem livneihem havtocha rishono. HaKadosh Baruch Hu observed and fulfilled the first commitment that he had made, Shehotziyomi Mitzrayim, that he brought them out of Egypt, Behevium El Ha'oretz V'Hinchilom Shiur HaMaspik, and HaKadosh Baruch was prepared not only to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, but to give them a sizable portion. V'Halotimsa, and you will find, if you look in Tanakh, Shiafilu Shiur HaTzorich Lohem Lo Nochalu, that even a sufficiently large amount of land they did not get, Shaharei b'nei Yosef omdim b'tzovichim shelo hisbikum nachalosom. They're complaining we don't have enough land. So we see that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept the first commitment, which is known as the Shvuah, to bring them to Eretz Yisrael, but the second commitment, to give them an area in Eretz Yisrael from the Euphrates to the Nile, that he didn't do. Because that depends on whether they are observant or not. There's a subtlety here, which is a masterpiece, become apparent in a moment. Harei sheyadayin lo higia liyodom havtochas minahar mitzrayim ad nahar poros v'yasoro umos. So we see that even though the lack of the tzidkus did not prevent them from coming into Eretz Yisrael, because that is a shvur which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to bring them in, but the land from the Nahar Mitzrayim to the Nahar Paros and the Yeser Umos, that they did not get. You know why? Because if you look in Bereishis Tesvav, you will see the following. After it says, Bedo Revi Yoshuvu Heina, I promise you the fourth generation will return afterwards, and this is something which will be fulfilled irrespective of what they keep. After having said that, the Pasuk then goes on to say the following, and this is the masterpiece of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Bayom Hahu Koras Hashem Es Avram Beris Lemor. On that day did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a bris with Avram, which said, Lezaracho Nosati Es Oretz Hazos Minahar Mitzrayim Ad Hanohor Hagodol Nahar Peros. To bring them back to Eretz Yisrael is a Shavuah. To give them the land in Eretz Yisrael from the Euphrates to the River Nile is a bris. And a bris you don't get unless you are totally observant. How beautifully the Pasuk reads, V'hoya ekev tishma'un eis ha-mishpotim o'ele u'shemartem v'atisem o'som v'shomar Hashem elokech alecha es ha-brish asher nishma alav o'secha. The Shavuah you get irrespective. Le'bitzit kosuchu v'yeshil avovuchu atobol ha-reshis ha-zatzom u'leman hokim es ha-shavuah. That you get irrespective of observance. But you want the bris? Minahar Mitzrayim, Minahar Paros, and Nahar Mitzrayim. That is Vahoya Ekev Tishmu'un. That is when you keep. And that is why, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Lozeh Omar Moshe, Ekev Tishmu'un, if you will listen, then V'shomar HaShem Elekoyach Elekho Es HaBris. Perush Loseis Minahar Mitzrayim V'yasor Umos B'shleimus. So the second interpretation of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh is, in the Bris Min HaBesorim there is a Shvuah, the Dor Revi Yoshuvu Heina, and there is a Bris stated explicitly by Yom Ahu, Koras Hashem Es Avram Beris. And the Bris depends on Tzidkus, but the Dor Revi Yoshuvu Heina does not. Let us now move on and approach a most interesting observation of the Ibn Ezra on Pasuk Tes Zion of this very chapter. Ve'ochalta es kol ho'amim, and you shall consume all the peoples, asher Hashem Elokecha nosein loch, lo sochos einecho aleihem, have no mercy on them. Ve'ochalta es kol ho'amim, says the Ibn Ezra, in his usual forthright style, Mitzvahi lechalosom. It is a commandment to exterminate them, ke'ochel lechem, like someone who eats bread. The ho'ed, and the proof that it is so, is lo sochos einecha, is the fact that the Pasuk goes on to say, have no rachmonis, no mercy. So the Ibn Ezra says that there is a mitzvah to exterminate all those nations in Eretz Yisrael, the Zion Umos. I came across a Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchas Melochim, Perek Vav, Halacha Hey. I haven't got it in the sheet, but just let me read it out for you. It's only a short section. And you'll see how relevant it is to the Ibn Ezra. Shalosha Kistovim Sholach Yehoshua Ad Shelo Nichnas La'oretz. Yehoshua, prior to entering Eretz Yisrael, sent three types of letters to the nations living in Eretz Yisrael. Horishon Sholach Lohem. The first letter read as follows. Misherotze Livroach Yivrach. Whoever wants to flee, can flee. And according to tradition, it's a Yerushalmi, the Girgoshi ran away to Africa. V'chozar v'sholach, and then he sent a second letter. Misherotze lahashlim yashlim. Whoever wants to make peace with me can make peace. V'chozar v'sholach, and then he sent a third letter. Misherotze lasos milchomo yaseh. Whoever wants to make war with me, make war. But he gave them all alternatives. You want to make peace? You want to get out? Be my guest. Says the Rambam, Imtein, if this alternative is always possible, either to run away or to make peace, and war is only the last option, Nipnei ma herimu yoshevei givon, why the Gibeonites disguise themselves as people coming from a far land? Let them come to Yehoshua and say, we'd love to make peace with you. So why were they scared? Says the Rambam, Lefi shesholach lohem bichlal velo kiblu, because they had been one of the nations that had received the original letters, and they didn't respond. Velo yodu mishpat Yisrael, and they didn't know how Jewish law works. Vedimu, and they thought, sheshuv ein poskim lohem lishalom, that once they were made the offer, and they didn't take Yehoshua up on it, they wouldn't get a second chance. So that's why they thought, we've got to do a bislah, a shmuchel aray, as they say in the classics, so that nobody knows who we are, and then after they've made a commitment to keep us alive, they won't be able to harm us. Says the Rambam, they made a mistake. Because the truth of the matter is, the options are available not only before Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, but even after he came in. And the Gibeonites who made a whole Hamaram is because they didn't understand that the options were still open to them even after Yehoshua had come into Eretz Yisrael. So according to the Rambam, I'm not so sure what the Ibn Ezra will do. Ibn Ezra says, Yochaltu is going to arm him. Get rid of them all. No suing for peace, no offer of running away. Says the Raivad, Omer Avram, Kolser Shibush. All this business with the Gibeonites, what the Rambam says, they made a mistake. Hazan Arishkeit. Shalo Sholach Lohem Yehoshua Lahashlim Elo Ad Shalo Ovru Esayardin Aval Acha Mikan Ein Mekablinos. Says the Raivad, the Gibeonites understood only too well. Because the options are only available before Yehoshua sets foot in Eretz Yisrael. Then he gives you the option. You want to make peace? Make peace. You want to run away? Run away. You want to make war? Get ready. But as soon as he walks over the Jordan with the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, all those options are removed. And it is out and out war. The Gibeonites were clever. So therefore we would like to say that the Ibn Ezra can be understood according to the Raivad. Because what the Ibn Ezra is saying, V'yochaltu es kol ha'amim, means after you have already arrived in Eretz Yisrael. Before you have arrived, Yerushalmi says the options were there, but the options are not available after they crossed over the Yarden into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Now let us move on, as a Indian, we move on to another fascinating Indian. The beginning of Perikhes. Says the pasuk, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi mitzavecho hayom tishmerun la'asos, Kol ha-mitzvah, whatever that means, which I am commanding you today, tishmerun la'asos, you shall keep to do, leman tichyun urevisem, uvosem virishtem meso'oret ashenishpa Hashem la'avoseichem. Now the language, Kol ha-mitzvah, says Rashi, Kol ha-mitzvah, kipeshuto, as its simple explanation, meaning all mitzvot which I command you to do. Umedrish agodo, But there is a Medrash Agodah, which I also feel I have to bring, and we'll see why, which understands the phrase Kol HaMitzvah to mean as follows. Im Hischalta b'mitzvah, gemorosa. If you begin to do a mitzvah, complete it. She'eino nikra ha-mitzvah, elo al shem ha-gomorah. Because the mitzvah is always associated with the one who completes it. She'ne'emar, and the proof of this is from the fact that the pasuk in Yehoshua tells us, v'es atzmos Yosef asher he'elu b'nei Yisrael mi-mitzrayim kavru b'shchem. The bones of Joseph, which B'nai Yisrael brought out from Mitzrayim, they buried in Shechem. What do you mean, the B'nai Yisrael brought the bones out of Mitzrayim? V'halo Moshe levado nisa seik bohem lahalo som. Is it not well known that Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yikach Moshe satzmos Yosef imo, v'chule. Ela, the reason is, l'fishelo, he speak legomra, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the opportunity to complete it. The Gomrua Yisrael, and it was the Jewish people who completed it, Nikras al Shemom, therefore it is accounted as if they have done the entire mitzvah. Let us now have a look at the Maskil Ledovit, because there are a number of important inyonim which emerge from this. As you can see, we've already despaired of getting through even one of the sheets, but nevertheless. First of all, says the Maskil Ledovit, let's have a look at the problems in Rashi. Rashi says, all right, keep Pshuto. And then goes on to say, no, I'm not happy with Pshuto, I have to bring Medrash Agoda as well. Why? Perush, the answer is the Koshele. Because Rashi has a problem with the words Kol HaMitzvah. The Chol, because when you use the word Kol, Mashma, it implies two or many. The HaMitzvah, whereas the word HaMitzvah, as you can appreciate, is a singular form, is Mashmachoda, only implies one mitzvah. Umitzareitz, therefore Rashi suggests, the first interpretation of this phrase is Kipeshuto, is to be translated in its simplest sense, meaning, Kilomar, Kol Mitzvah Umitzvah Shetizdamin Lecho, Ta'asenu Miyad. Whatever mitzvah you are commanded to do, of whatever type it is, do it straight away. So Kol HaMitzvah is translated by Rashi Kipshuto in the first instance as every single mitzvah that you are commanded to do, do it immediately. Umiyu, however, akati kitzas kosher. Rashi was not happy with that interpretation. Why? The yim came because if that was the way it was to be explained, Havilei Lomar, then the phrase should have read, Kol Mitzvah. Every mitzvah that comes to you, you should do. Umay HaMitzvah? Every the mitzvah. What does it mean? Lokach Maisei HaMedrash. Therefore he brings the Medrash, Dimitareit Shapir, which explains it quite beautifully. Meaning, Sheyesh Lecho Lasos Kol HaMitzvah Velo Miktsosa. That's the way it's to be understood. Kol HaMitzvah. Don't leave out any part of the mitzvah which you have begun. So the Hey HaYediyah, the definite article, is referring to a specific mitzvah, namely, the mitzvah which you've just started. Make sure that it becomes kol. Make sure that the mitzvah is completed by you. That's how Rashi understands, according to the Medrash Agoda, kol hamitzvah. Now, so that's the pshat in Rashi. Now the masculine David, being the Talmudic giant that he is, has a bit of a problem with the proof that is adduced from the episode of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Atzmos Yosef. Why? Uma de Maiserayim Yatzmos Yosef. And when they bring a raya from the bones, Joseph's bones, that the mitzvah is always called after the one who completes it, and therefore even though Moshe Rabbeinu brought it out as far as Eretz Yisrael, but since he didn't complete it, it's not called on his name, it's not kosher. That's difficult to understand, that reasoning. Why? The Moshe Tzadikah, because the righteous man Moshe My Havilela Merbach. What did you want him to do? Harei Nernas. Is he not, as it were, bound by forces beyond his control? Shaharei lo rotzo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shechi koneis lahoretz apalpi shehivtzir b'tefilo. Is it not a known fact that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't complete the mitzvah? Not because he didn't want to, but because he wasn't able. And on the contrary, when we reflect on the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able, if you look into another Maimar Chazal, you will discover, Im choshav odom la'asos mitzvah, if a person had every intention of doing a mitzvah, v'nena, and due to circumstances beyond his control, below us, he didn't do it. Maleh olav hakosov keilo asa'o. Then the Kodesh Baruch Hu considers as if that man has done the mitzvah. But this is flying in the face of what's going on here. On the contrary, we're indicting Moshe Rabbeinu for not having completed the mitzvah, even though he wasn't able. And Chazal say, if you wanted to do a mitzvah, even if you didn't do part of it even, but you wanted to do a mitzvah, and you weren't able to complete it due to forces beyond your control, you are considered to be as if you have done the mitzvah. So why didn't they give the total credit to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Kolchik in Hoch, on the contrary, as I said just a moment ago, to Hischil Bonami, the Amaini Kras al Shem Yisrael, why is it called on the name of Israel and not on the name of Moshe Rabbeinu? Says the masculine David, v'yesh l'tareitz, and I answer as follows. Doho lo mikre onus. The truth of the matter is, Moshe Rabbeinu is not called an onus. He is not called a person who is not able due to circumstances beyond his control, etc. You know why? Because kiva de goli kro, because since the Torah tells us, that had it not been for the fact that he sinned at the Mei Meriva, he would have gone into Eretz Israel, as the Pasuk says, Yad lo emantim bi, etc. Uchahai gavne lo mikre ones te ihu gorim, because he himself brought about that he wasn't able to go into Eretz Israel, therefore he is not called an onus. Very interesting. An onus is only called an onus if the whole rationale, the whole circumstance that the person finds himself in is totally beyond his control. But if a person jumps over a cliff, and because of what happens at the bottom, he's not able to put on tefillin, he's not called an onus. Because if a person contributes to his own predicament, then that's not called onus. Onus means is when a person finds himself in a situation totally beyond his control. The Efshar de Mishum Hachi Ichbal Rashi, and it is possible that for this reason Rashi is particular, La Asuye Hoda Moshe, Dafka, to bring a raya from Moshe, knowing that we would have the kasha that we've just had. Surely he's onus. On the contrary, Rashi was careful to bring that as an illustration, Lilameid, in order to instruct you, to dafke b'chahai gavne shehu goram lo shelo yuchal legomra hilkech nikras al shem gomra. In order to teach you that it is when a situation arises for which you are responsible, then you are not called onus, and the mitzvah will be named after the person who completes it, holav hachi. But if it was an onus of a different nature, namely totally beyond your control, Shehu Onus is Pshita Shetikorei Al Shemo Nami. It is obvious that it would also be referred to him also by his name. So therefore, what Rashi has succeeded in doing with this subtle proof of Moshe Rabbeinu is to introduce you to a new concept, and that is that when the Gemara tells us that a person who is Onus and is not able to do a mitzvah, that the mitzvah is considered as if he has actually fulfilled it and is called on his name, that is only when the onus is totally beyond his control. But if the individual partially contributed to the circumstances which now make it impossible for him to perform the mitzvah, then that's not called onus. And if he began the mitzvah and under those circumstances somebody else completed it, then the mitzvah will be known by the name of the one who completes. Now we move on to a fascinating Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma is very, very strong. My cousin has pointed out to me personally, and in also another Ksavim, Sefer Devarim for the Meshech Chochma is his magnum opus. And of course, one of the mitzvos that is contained in this week's Parsha is the mitzvah of Birchas Hamazon. V'yochalto v'sovato uveirachto as Hashem Elokecha l'oretz atovu asher noson lach. So here I refer you to the first of the Meshech Chochmas. I'm not sure whether we'll go through to the end, but nevertheless, it is quite special. And he starts with a Gemara. Now, it's not a typical Gemara. I particularly don't bring a lot of Gemaras for those people who are not initiated in the style. But this particular Gemara is not a difficult Gemara to follow at all. And we only need it for a few lines, and then we will see exactly what is happening. Says the Gemara in Brochos, Minayin lebirchas hamozon min haTorah. From where do we know that the duty to recite Birchas Hamazon is a duty from the Torah? A mitzvah saseh midioraisa. And the Gemara says like this, Shene'emar, as it says, V'yochalto v'savato, you eat and be satisfied, then uveirachto, the duty to bless begins, which is a reference, if it is appropriate, to Birchas Hazimun, that three who have eaten together should join in Hazimun. Then the pasuk goes on to say, Es Hashem Elokecha, that's a reference to Birchas Hazon, the first paragraph. Al Ha'oretz is a reference to Nodelecha, Hatova is a reference to Rachim, etc. Okay. So, at this particular moment in time, what we have is, from the Gemara, a clear indication that the duty to recite Birchas Hamazon is a mitzvah aseh min haTorah. So the Gemara then goes on to say, Ein li elo acharov. From this pasuk, I can only learn out a duty to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu more correctly, after we have eaten. Lefonov minayin. From where do I know that there is a duty to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu min haTorah before I eat? The Gemara says like this, Omar to kal v'chomer. We learn it out in a kal v'chomer, an a fortiori from Birchas Hamazon. Kishahu soveya mevorech, if when he is satisfied he blesses. Kishahu ro'ev lo kol shekin, how much more so when he experiences hunger and sees in front of him the food which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created in his world, which has the ability to satisfy that hunger, how much more so does he have an obligation to recite a bracha? Okay. How do I know that I have a duty to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu after I've learned Torah? Another kal v'chomer. Omer Rabbi Yishmael kal v'chomer. Al chaye sho'om evorech. Al chaye olam havo lo kol shekein. If I can bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for temporal benefits, food, how much more so have I a duty to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for eternal benefits, namely the learning of Torah. Then, he refers us to a Gemara earlier on in Brochos. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lamadnu Birchas HaTorah Liyachareha Min Birchas HaMazon Mikal V'Chomer. We have learned that there is a duty min HaTorah to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we learn Torah from a Kal V'Chomer of blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we eat food. Birchas HaMazon Lifaneha Min Birchas HaTorah Mikal V'Chomer. And there is another Kal V'Chomer through which we learn the mitzvah to recite a bracha over food. We learn that as a Kal V'Chomer from reciting Birchas HaTorah before we learn Torah. Okay. Now, so what should emerge from these reasonings in the Gemara is that there is a mitzvah from the Torah to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we eat food, and there's a mitzvah min HaTorah to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we've learned Torah. Nevertheless, Umasik Shom, the Gemara refutes this, ignores all the reasoning that we've just had, and concludes, Debracha Shelefonea Humidarabonon Vechain Bedivrei Sora. The Gemara rejects the reasonings and says no. The Kal V'Chomer is no Kal V'Chomer, whereas blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we've eaten is a mitzvah saseh min HaTorah, but to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we eat is no Kal Vachomer, and therefore the brachos are merely, quote-unquote, of rabbinic origin. And whereas the duty to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu before we learn Torah is indeed a mitzvah min HaTorah, to the contrary of the Ramban, for sure, nevertheless, the mitzvah to bless after we've learned Torah is not min HaTorah at all. So why did the Kal Vachomers break down? That's the Mechach Chochmas Kasha. Why did these reasonings not give us the results which they seem to have yielded in the sources that we have quoted? And here is where Meshech Chochma provides a most fascinating insight into Birchas Hamazon and Birchas HaTorah. I think we'll just have a look at Birchas Hamazon this evening, and then we'll move on. We'll leave Birchas HaTorah for another time. Says the Meshech Chochma, please, I guarantee, it is an insight of the highest order. V'tama nireh. The reason why all these Kal Vachomers broke down and are of no value and were rejected at the conclusion of the sugya in the Gemara is, in my opinion, the following. De'im ne'ayim ala tashrum al gmul hatov shigomalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the Birchas HaMazon that we recite was only a gesture of thanksgiving, Ozhu Kal Vachomer Me'alya, then the reasoning of the Gemara would have been unimpeachable. If you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu after you've eaten, how much more so should you thank him before you eat, when you see the food in front of you, which is going to give you the opportunity to satiate your hunger? Further, and in regard to Ma'al Chayei Shom Avorech Al Chayei Olam Lo Kol Shekein, V'chein Ma'al Kishu Soveim Avorech Kishu Reum Lo Kol Shekein, if indeed the bracha that we make over Torah is a bracha of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Kal Vachomer is a good Kal Vachomer. Shezet Hodu Brachu Arvu Gemulo Shekumal Alav Hashem Yisparach, because both of these brachos are indeed blessings of thanksgiving exclusively. And if they are blessings of thanksgiving exclusively, then the Kal Vachomer is 100% airtight. Ach b'emes ein habrocha al zeh bilvad. But you have to know that when we recite Birchas HaMazon, our recitation is not only to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rakhu inyan u'mechuvon acher. In reciting Birchas HaMazon, there is another theme as well as thanksgiving. Why? Shekisha ochel v'saveya otu oluliv out. Because it is well known that when a person eats and feels satisfied, he casts off all yokes from him. Don't tell and let anybody tell me what to do. He feels good. He feels self-sufficient, as the Pasuk says in our Parsha, Pento chalvis avata, v'shachachta et Hashem Elokecha. Lest you eat and be satisfied, and because you feel so good, who needs God? Mole kreise zone bishe. A full stomach is another type of sin. Lochein tzivo Hashem Yisborach. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Shekisha yochal v'yisbar, that when a person eats and is satisfied, Yazkir Shema Elokim b'seudav yivarechenu, a person has to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only to thank, but to remind himself, Ki hu hanosein lecha koach las oskoyil, and that is why, immediately after the psukim v'yochaltav v'savato irachto, immediately after that it says, Hishom elecho pentishkach, pentochal v'savato, v'rom levovecho v'shochachto, etc. v'zochat ki hu, hanotein lecho koach lasos choyer. Her olonu tam habrocho, shelo yachshiach levovo midachi Hashem yisborach v'yedosa. What he is saying is as follows. If the bracha of Birchas HaMazon would be merely to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you thank afterwards, Kal Vachomer you got to thank before. No! It's not true! It's not only to give thanks.
It's to restore a sense of perspective. Because when you've eaten and you've feasted and you feel good, then you are in jeopardy of throwing off the yoke of heaven. Pento chalvis levota, hishom elecha. Therefore, the bracha is to remind you, there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. Don't let your perspective be distorted by your hearty meal. Now, that's a type of emotion that wells in the individual when he has feasted. And if that is indeed part of the theme of Birchas Hamazon, then it's obvious why you can't make a kal v'chomer to before you eat, because before you... So we leave that Meshech Chokhmah over here. And please note what the Meshech Chokhmah has done. And to my mind, although he hasn't indicated it clearly in this area, he does so elsewhere in his Perush al HaTorah. And that is that the Pshat of Torah fulfills many functions. We've indicated many times the Pshat and the Halacha don't always coincide. And sometimes the Pshat refers to a Halacha L'Sho'ah as opposed to a Halacha L'Doris, which we get through Medrash Halacha. But Meshech Chokhmah on occasion points out that whereas the Pshat does not give us the Halacha on many occasions, on equally many occasions, the Pshat gives us the Ta'am, the Halacha. It gives us the rationale of the Halacha. And here Meshech Chokhmah is showing us, by bringing us the context in which the whole of Birchas Hamazon appears, that in fact the whole rationale of Birchas Hamazon is not only to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Had it been only to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the conclusion of those sugyas would have been that the bracha that we make after and the bracha that we make before food are all midioraisa. But since the kal v'chomer is rejected, it must be because Birchas Hamazon is not exclusively thanksgiving. It is to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but at the same time to restore our perspective and to remember that it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has given us the food which enables us to continue our lives. Okay. Now, as I say, that to my mind is, this is a most precious Meshech Chokhmah. I cannot aim gamer him all of his ahale. Let us move on now to something which I must say took me somewhat by surprise. And that is a Posuk Perik Tes. Sometimes there are questions that you don't regard as questions, and questions that you wouldn't even think of asking. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, one of the episodes in this week's Parsha, one of the episodes is to remind the Bnei Yisrael how he came down from Har Sinai and broke the Luchos. Now, what does the Pasuk say? Test. When I went up to the mountain, to bring down the luchos of stones, which are luchos abris, the luchos of the covenant, and I stayed there, and Hashem gave me the luchos avonim, and the luchos avonim in Yud Aleph, luchos avonim. Let us have a look at the Ksav Kabbalah. People are geniuses. It's worthwhile reflecting for a moment, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. Alma shehichzir kama pa'omi b'parchazu shehalukos hoyu shalavonim. Notice how many times the Parsha repeats the fact that the lukos are of stone. Ki ma'alonu im yihiyu shaleitzo matkos. I would never have said that. Doesn't mean anything, but I would never have said it. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, mein geshef stone, and if it would have been made of wood, and it would have been made of metal. What's the big deal with Avonim? Ki tachlis kavonoso kan. I mean, after all, what is Moshe Rabbeinu going back over the whole episode for? Lahochicham, to rebuke them, shebi avonosom garamu hishtabru saluchos. That through their sins, they brought about the breaking of the stones. V'lo hoya min horoi, so therefore, to my mind, it wasn't appropriate, kiim lahazkir marshahu shevach lehem. He should have brought something concerning the stones, which describes their greatness. Lucas Oedos, Lucas Abris. Oh, like their themes. Oh, but Lucas Avonim. What's it going to do with it? He should have mentioned items, Hamagdil Yoker Erkom. He should have mentioned items which raise up their preciousness. like Lucas Oedus, Lucas Abris. Omnom, however, Eichus Chumrom, Shahoyu Shel Evan, Shaim Bezeshum is Nathus, Vachashiv is Nitzavi Ebudom. But the fact that they were made of stone, does that make them any more sad to be broken? Why does he need to mention it so often? Lucas Avonim, Lucas Avonim. Uve Yosel, and furthermore, Shehikdim Kol Pam. Whenever he mentions the fact that they are Lucas Oedus and Lucas Abris, each time he says first, Lucas Avonim. Ve'ein me horo'ui lahakdim hatof eliyikar. And to my mind, you don't put the least significant before the most significant. Lucas Oedus, versteitzach. Lucas Abris. Lucas Avonim. Lochein nireli, therefore it appears to me, she'ein sheim even v'inyan ze al chomer haluchas v'gash miyusam. To my mind, the word avonim in these psukim is not to be translated as stone, brackets, shtein. Avol inyano, but the word avonim is to be understood in the context in which it is used in Parshas Vayechi, when it speaks about Yaakov Avinu blessing Yosef, Mishom ro'eh even Yisrael. From there in Mitzrayim, Yosef nourished even Yisrael, which has been translated by the grammarians, Shehora also. What it means in that context is Hayesod ho'ikari shel pirota. The word even in that sense is to be understood as the foundation. Yosef brought the foundations of our people to Mitzrayim during the years of famine, and there he nourished them. Mishom ro'eh even Yisroel. So therefore, kima hu soever, because what, after all, what is a stone? He kibbutz chelkei chol shehis achtu bo lihiyos etzem echad. It is the union of individual particles which are brought together to become one unit. So therefore, it is appropriate that an even should be translated also as yesod, because yesod called avor sheprotov kilulim umis atzmimbo lihisachedimo nikro even. Therefore, the word even likewise refers to a foundation which is the basis for many individual items, as an even is in the physical world, so a yesod is in the world of theory. Now, what's that going to do with us? V'lihiyos shi'aseres ha-devorim heim ha-yesod ho-ikari l'chol ha-tariag mitzvah. It is well known, and Rashi brings it in his commentary on Chumash, that every one of the 613 commandments are alluded to in the Aseres HaDibros. So the Aseres HaDibros are luchos avonim, tablets on which the Yesodos are written. Ah, that's something different. Ki kulom nikbotzim umisachtim bohem. Lochein kira om luchos even. Kilomar, as if to say, luchos she'aleihem yesod kol hamitzvos. And therefore it is appropriate that these are sentiments that should be echoed when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Bnei Yisrael the luchos that he broke on their account. V'hodia bozeh yoke v'godel erech aseres adibros asher kol hatariag mitzvos nichlolos usaluyos bohem. So therefore, says the Ksava Kabbalah, luchos avonim is not to be translated as tablets of stone. It is to be translated as luchos containing the yesodos of the entire tariag mitzvahs. So very, very, a very poetical thing. Okay. Now I'd like to conclude our shiur this evening with a very powerful essay by Meshe Chochmah. As you know, in this week's Parsha, there is the second paragraph of the Shema. Last week's Parsha, the first paragraph of the Shema. Second paragraph, as you know, begins, V'hoyoyim Shemoa tishmu el mitzvosai, asher anachim etaveyasechem b'yom liyavos Hashem lekechem, uliyovdo v'chol levavachem uv'chol napshechem. Now listen to what a Lithuanian does with these particular words, because it's obvious that only a person who is spiritually descended from the Beis HaMedrash of the Gaon can say what is said here. And I certainly do recommend it
as something to go over.
B'sifrei piskom emalek. The Sifrei, which is the rabbinic commentary, Chazal, to Sefer Devarim, they compare, please note my words, they compare the first paragraph of Shema to the opening section of the second paragraph of the Shema. That's what they compare. And they make the following observation. Kan le Talmud, kan le Maisa. One contains the mitzvah of learning Torah, and the other does not. So we're speaking about the second paragraph of the Shema, which comes to a conclusion before V'limadetem Osam Esbeneichem Ledaber Bo. So we're comparing the first paragraph of the Shema and the opening section of the second paragraph, and the Sifrei says, Kan Lelimud, that's the first paragraph, Vishinantum Levanachem Edibartabom, but the second paragraph is Lemais, it speaks about the performance of the practical mitzvahs, but no mention of Limud Torah. Perusho, what does the Sifrei mean? Tipepar Shorishona, that in the first part of the Shema, Kisivo Talmud, there's a reference made to the duty to learn Torah, but in the opening section of the second parsha, Kisiv Maisa, it speaks about the performance of practical mitzvahs. That is why it says, Ula Ovedo, Becholav Avachem, and we know that the Sifrei obviously does not translate the word Le'ovdo, as Reb Shimon Bar Yochai does, to refer to the service of God in the learning of his Torah, but as we indeed interpret it, Ule'ovdo b'cholav avachem ezehi avodah shebaleiv, harezuhi tefillah. So the first part of the second paragraph of the Shema consists only of practical mitzvahs. Lochein, my friends, says Meshech Chochma, you're dealing in the second paragraph of the Shema with people who are keeping the mitzvahs betachlis ahidur. But only in the second paragraph and not in the first paragraph will you see the possibility entertained of Hishomru Lochem Penyivtele Vavachem. Not in the first paragraph. De'ilu betalmid below maist. Because, on the contrary, a person who learns Torah but doesn't keep. Did not Chazal tell us, Hamo'or Shabo Machziram Lemutov, we have every confidence that the light and beauty of Torah will bring him back to the straight and narrow. Avol b'maise below Talmud. But people who are keeping mitzvahs b'tachlis ahidur, v'hoyim shamo'ah tishmu'u b'kol, l'shmo'ah, l'ovdem, b'chol levavachim, b'chol nafshechem. Maisa below Talmud, but Maisa HaMitzvahs without learning Torah, without Kovat Yitam LaTorah, Yesh Mokum LeYetzer Hara LeFatos. The Yetzer Hara got plenty of room to move. Shmiras HaMitzvahs without Limud Torah is a precarious Jewish existence. Uchidadorach LeKamon Piskem Em Gimel, as indeed the rabbis say later on, Hishomru Lachem Pen Yivtelev Alachem. Omar Lahem, the Sifrei goes on to say, Hizaru Shalo Yate Eschem Yetzahara, be careful that the Yetzahara does not deceive you. Ritzvar Shu to Forasho Minat Torah and take you away from Torah. Shekivan Shadon Paresh Minat Torah, because as soon as a person goes away from learning Torah, whatever else he does, Holeichum Edabek Liave Nazara, he's on his way to idol worship. It hurt. As the Pasuk says, and we also have a pasuk in regards to David HaMelech, which I'm not going to go into at this particular moment. Six lines down. So what we have succeeded in discovering is that Maisa HaMitzvahs B'tachlis Ahidur, which is what is the theme of the opening portion of the second paragraph of the Shema, Maisa HaMitzvahs B'tachlis Ahidur without Limud Torah is a precarious existence, and one cannot avoid the possibility in such a situation of Hishomru Lachem Pen Yivtelev Alachem. But now look what he does. He brings to our attention Pisko Membeis. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says as follows, and it's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says like this. we have two apparently contradictory psukim. One pasuk says concerning our people, you're going to have to go into the fields and do your own work. And another pasuk says, "V'yomdu zorim v'ro'u tonachem," and strangers will rise up and they will do your work for you. How do we reconcile these two psukim? Says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, "Kishkan v'sha'osim l'tzona shel makom, kan v'sha'enosim l'tzona shel makom." When you do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, others will do your work for you. But when you're not doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're going to have to do your own work. Ein osim retzona shel makom. Okay. Says Tosfos, what is this revered gentleman talking about? The pasuk v'yosafta degonecha v'sirosecha v'yitzarecha, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, is speaking about a period in our history when we are not doing the will of God. Ein osim retzona shel makom. Says the Tosfos, what are you talking about? Is v'yosafta degonecha v'sirosecha v'yitzarecha not to be found in the middle of the paragraph that begins, v'hoya im shomoa tishmu el mitzvosai asher anochi mitzaveh esechem hayom li'ahamo ez Hashem elokechem u'li'omdo v'chol levavachem v'chol nafchechem? And you're telling me, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that that's called ein osim retzono shel makom, not doing the will of God? Says Meshech Chachma, yes. Because it describes a Jewish lifestyle which consists exclusively of Shmiras HaMitzvahs without Limud Torah. And where there is Shmiras HaMitzvahs without Limud Torah, that, in the words of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, is referred to as Ein Osim Ratzono Shel Makom. So therefore, what we have here with the Sifrei is a masterful resolution of that famous kasha of Tosfos. Tosfos themselves, when they ask the kasha, how can that be referred to as Ein Osim Ratzono Shel Makom, they answer and say, it means they're not really doing the Ratzono Shel Makom. But they don't say more than that. According to the Meshech Chochma, we understand. We understand why they are not doing Mamish Ratzono Shel Makom. Because Maisa HaMitzvahs, Shmiras HaMitzvahs, without Limud Torah in the vernacular of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, is called Ein Osim Ratzono Shel Makom. And it is interesting. And again, this is based on Medrash. This is the based on Medrash of the Gaon. The sort of Chaim Ivalosh in the Talmud Muvik of the Gaon says, when we keep mitzvos, we are known as avodim. We are known as servants of God. When we learn Torah, we are known as children of God. That is why, says Reb Chaim Ivalozhin, we say in our Shmon Esrei, Hashirenu Avinu L'Sorasecha. Because when we are involved in the learning of Torah, we are not servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we are involved in the learning of Torah, we are the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here it gives us a small glimpse as to what Limud Torah is in the hierarchy of values. And I bring it deliberately this week, not only because it is appropriate to the parsha, but because I want to bring it as a hashlomo, as a complementary theme to what I mentioned last week in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal. Because Rabbi Yaakov Zatzal explains why Gemara has become the almost exclusive diet of yeshivas and everywhere else, because our prime concern, says Rabbi Yaakov, is, in the words of last week's parsha, ulemadetem osom ushamartem laasosom, learning in order to know what to do. Godol halimu chemevi lidei maise. Meshech Chochma says, and when you know what to do, and you know exactly how to put on your tefillin, and you know exactly how to bake your matzahs, at the end of the day, if your Limud Torah is going to be exclusively confined to Shmiras HaMitzvos, then it is not Osin Ratzono Shel Makom. And this echoes the Beis Halevi that we've brought over the years in various places, in Kisisa and in Mishpatim, where he explains that the announcement Naaseh V'Nishma, we will do, and in order to do, we will have to learn how to keep the mitzvos. But even after the Naaseh, even after we know exactly what to do, and even after we do what we have to do, we still need the added dimension of V'Nishma. to learn. Because Shmiras HaMitzvahs, again, it's the same base of Medrash of the Gaon. Because to keep the mitzvahs without a commitment to the learning of Torah is classified, and it's not a histrionic, it's a statement of the Sifrei, a statement of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. To learn Torah, to keep mitzvahs without the learning of Torah, is classified under Ein Osim Ratzon Shemokum, Stuf Tavorim Mount Eden. We leave it over here, and in Yisrael Hashem, we meet next Monday evening for our final shiur of the current session.